performance by Cliff Lee.
Victorino in the alley calling. He's got it! And the Phillies are going back to the World Series!
Hello, good morning. It is the newest episode of Continued Success inside of your ear holes. I am Justin Clue of FanGraphs and Baseball Prospectus. With me is Liz Rocher of Yahoo Sports. Hello, Liz.
Hello, Justin. Good morning to you.
Liz, if you were new to baseball and you checked in on the news of the day yesterday, one couldn't blame you for thinking that this is a sport of crazed individuals casting aspersions, making accusations, identity fraud, witchcraft. I mean, who knows what's going on in this sport at the moment? It is coming apart at the seams. And it doesn't seem like anyone in a really influential level has any idea of how to respond to this. So today on Continued Success, we're gonna talk about exactly, you know, what's going on in baseball with the Astros cheating scandal, and basically just go from there, because this is quite the foundational shift for baseball. I don't know if we want to start immediately, just jumping right in, or trying to try to provide some context, even though I'm sure most people are aware of what's going on. I mean, is it fair to say, you know, yeah, this all most recent chapter of this started with the sequence of the breaking news about Major League Baseball's penalties for the Astros after their investigation of the cheating allegations?
Yes.
Yeah, that came out on January 13th. Ken Rosenthal said that manager Jeff Lonow and manager A.J. Hinch of the Astros were going to get one-year suspensions. The Astros were going to lose their first and second-round draft picks in both 2020 and 2021, and they were going to be fined $5 million. And shortly after that, Astros owner Jim Crane, who is no hero in any of this by any stretch of the imagination, but he stepped forward and voluntarily fired Lonow and Hinch rather than going forward with their 1 year suspension.
He fired them live at a press conference. I don't believe he warned them ahead of time. He went to a press conference and fired them on television.
So if you thought for excellent. A second this wasn't all about optics, you know, it was entirely about optics. So,
oh yeah. As I said to John on the podcast last night, these punishments were I think created to allow the owner to look strong.
That's a really, yes, I think that's certainly worth, in this mess of secrets and lies, that is certainly seems completely feasible. When you think about what Rob Manfred's job is, when you think about what Jim Crane would want from this situation, well, I want it to look like something serious and impactful has been done, but nothing that hurts me personally. So yeah. That's kind of fits that to a bill.
I mean, so, Rob Manfred in his report went out of his way on like the first page to be like, owner Jim Crane had nothing to do with this. He is entirely blameless for the organization that he owns and monitors cheating.
Oh yeah, he turned a blind eye. He was just up in his box clapping like one of those toy monkeys with cymbals.
He was just
having a great old time watching the old ball game. No idea what that banging sound is. Obviously, I mean, I don't feel like we need to go back that far. Mm-mm. This all has to do with the...
We're just now moving forward through the timeline.
Yeah, largely the 2018 World Series, I think, is the World Series being discussed in all of this. So no players were disciplined by the league after the investigation, but Carlos Beltran's name was mentioned in it, and what, he was the only player whose role was defined in any way?
Yes. There were no other players named specifically. Every player who participated in the investigation was given immunity. I believe that was arranged through the MLBPA. Beltran is no longer explicitly covered as he's a manager now, but his activities at the time were, which is why they were able to mention him, because he's no longer a player. But he was at the time. And so that he was the only player mentioned, and he and Alex Cora masterminded the whole thing.
Yeah. And so Alex Cora is now out as the Red Sox manager, and Carlos Beltran is out as the Mets manager. And
yeah, this happened on almost subsequent days. Alex Cora was fired. You see, the report was released Monday. Alex Cora was fired Tuesday. Wednesday, nothing happened. We were lulled into a false sense of security. And then Thursday, the Mets finally fired Carlos Beltran after a disastrous outdoor event where they were renaming a street near Citi Field after Mike Piazza and his wife, who looked like she stepped off of the set of a Goodfellas remake.
So, yeah, the...
I'm sorry, I have a lot of feelings. I'm half Italian. I have a lot of feelings about Mike Piazza and his connection to his Italian heritage.
Yes, and we're going to stop here and just talk about how the Mets got pulled into this. The Mets, who are nowhere near the World Series.
No.
Nowhere near the level of the Mets or even the Dodgers, the team, you know, quote unquote, victimized by the Astros.
They're pretty much just at the level of the Phillies. If I'm being honest, they're just a little bit maybe above.
They're just out there somewhere, Metsing their own business. And that business is often, I mean, you know, it's not surprising to see them pulled into this, but it's always, I mean, it always is kind of like a little jarring to realize, like, oh, this is going to be like a Mets thing. I see. I didn't see this coming, but they set it up kind of like a, you know, oh, look over here. It's a big major league deal for all of baseball. And oh, hey, the Mets are also involved in this somehow. And they are. And Liz, I mean, how would you describe the Mets' handling of this? Because I think it was perfectly on brand.
I think so. They so at sort of the little press answer session at the Piazza renaming, Jeff Wilpon got a handful of questions about Beltran, and I feel like you could kind of see it in his face. He's like, "Oh crap, this is really what this is going to be about, huh?" And so, like, 90 minutes later, he was fired.
It's incredible
mutually parted ways. I apologize. Don't sue us.
How little everyone thinks they have to talk about this, despite their direct involvement. Like, that's really all it takes in a situation like this. Like, you are going to be asked about this if any, you know, reporters are doing their jobs. You're going to be asked about this. So, like, the whole annoyed thing, the whole like, ugh, like I have to talk about this, is bullshit, because yeah, you have to talk about this is the only thing everyone is talking about. And on top of that, I mean, mostly what we've gotten out of this as far as like responses are letters from people who have been like Lanao and Hinch, both of them submitted letters to the media to be
statements, indeed.
Yeah, they, serving as their statements. I mean, I believe Lanao was the one who said, "I am not a cheater."
I am not a cheater. Yeah, idiot. just completely lying. See, here's the distinction. AJ Hinch knew about it and didn't like it. He was not strong enough. He, you know, all he did was, you know, hit some monitors with bats and break them or something, like to show his disapproval. And he's like, and apparently the monitors just reappear new. Like, you might have to open your mouth.
That's incredible.
Tell people that you don't like it. And that was his involvement in the cheating. Lunau apparently had been told about it. He was not involved in developing it, but he'd been told about it and wanted to know as little about it as possible, purely for the, I'm going to guess, for the purpose of plausible deniability.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's a solid guess.
Yeah, at least Hinch apologized sincerely. I think Hinch's statement was actually quite nice. Jeff Lunau threw literally everyone under the bus on his way out and declared himself blameless. So he can shut up.
Oh, yeah. He says in his statement, according to the Houston Chronicle, "I am not a cheater. Anybody who has worked closely with me during my 32-year career inside and outside baseball can attest to my integrity."
Dude works for McKinsey. He has no integrity.
Yeah, he says he didn't know anything about what his players or coaches were doing. He says, "I did not know rules were being broken," as the commissioner said out in his statement. I did not personally direct, oversee, or engage in any misconduct. The sign-stealing initiative was not planned or directed by baseball management. The trash can banging was driven and executed by players. This is ridiculous. And the video decoding of signs originated and was executed by lower-level employees working with the bench coach. I am deeply upset that I wasn't informed of any misconduct. I would have stopped it.
Liz, so sure.
How soon does Jeff Lanau get another job in baseball?
Almost immediately after his suspension. I mean, at least one person in the Philly moron radio sphere has suggested that he should be the next Phillies GM.
Right. But I mean, that's not real. That's just theater.
Yeah, I hope that's like, theater because
what's
that's
the trendy
gross.
Name of the day to throw out there and get a response. I mean, that's just nothing.
I hope it's theater because otherwise I'm a throw up.
I mean, it's a performance that will keep going, I'm sure.
Cool.
But it's not, there's no real thought put into that. It's just who's gonna anger people? Who's gonna get people to talk to me? And it's that. Yeah, so I mean, you know, it's been said by one subset of Houston Chronicle, some of their sports coverage under the banner Texas Sports Nation. A columnist called Brian T. Smith called this the darkest day in Astros history. Which,
yeah,
I know we're both racing. You know, our minds are racing to think what are other moments in Astros history, and you know, I'm not coming up with a whole lot.
No,
so,
they were unremarkable for quite a long period.
Right. And I think that's fair. So I mean, Liz, we believe what we want to believe based on what we're told by the people involved. This obviously spirals way beyond the Houston Astros. We've already been led to believe there are other teams that have been mentioned as cheating in similar capacities. There's not a lot of evidence or proof floating around just yet. We'll get to some more aspects to this insane story. But at the moment, let's just pause here. We didn't really dwell on the Mets thing. I do want to just go back to that really quick. Carlos Beltran winds up, you know, as the new Mets manager, hasn't managed a game. It's brought up to the Wilpons, it's brought up to the Mets, hey, you know, what's going to happen here for a while? I think one of them responded with something like, you know, this has nothing to do with us. Like, leave us alone. Leave us alone. This has nothing to do with us. Knowing full well they were being dragged into it. And eventually Carlos Beltran and the Mets had a conversation where reportedly Beltran suggested, you know, it was in the best interest of everyone that they part ways.
I'm just imagining a conversation where Brody Van Wagenen, Fred Wilpon, and Carlos Beltran are in a room. I'm like, well, hello, Carlos. Thanks for coming. He's like, yes, thank you for inviting me. I'm glad I'm here. And then there's just silence as Van Wagenen and Wilpon wait for Beltran to say, you know, maybe I should step down because they don't want to be the ones to suggest it, because that's essentially firing him and they don't want it to look like that. That is what I'm imagining. It's just the most awkward meeting where there's like 10 minutes of silence where Beltran is like, I don't want to do this. Do I have to do this? They're going to make me do this.
According to the New York Post, Beltran said, over my 20 years in the game, I've always taken pride in being a leader and doing things the right way. As a veteran player on the team, I should have recognized the severity of the issue and truly regret the actions that were taken. I am a man of faith and integrity, and what took place did not demonstrate those characteristics that are so very important to me and my family. Now, I don't want to get too far into this because I'm actually working on a story involving this, but the word integrity gets thrown around a lot these days, Liz, and it's almost a go-to. I believe later in his statement, Beltran even throws out the, he does. I am very sorry. It's not who I am as a father, a husband, a teammate, and as an educator. I would just like to say, screw the PR expert who initiated the idea of, hey, if you say as a father, as a this, as a all the things I wasn't when I committed this malfeasance, people will remember that I am a human being with other humans who rely on me, and that will make me appear more sympathetic. Whoever invented that, it's been deemed such a staple that it's been in every one of these fake apologies or statements or whatever in the fallout of countless scandals for many, many years. It's like the 99 cents of fake apologies. It is just everywhere and it's extremely prevalent. And yeah, I mean, the word integrity, I would conclude that after Bud Selig didn't shut up about it during the Maguire-Sosa steroid fallout, that the word has no meaning at this point.
Oh no, it doesn't.
And it's the only word anybody wants to say when they're talking about anything relating to a baseball scandal of this kind, which is a great word to bring up because it has two meanings, but also because none of these people would be apologizing if we didn't all find out what they did.
Yeah. None of these people would be like, if somehow Hinch and Luhnow hadn't been suspended, they wouldn't be fired.
No.
You know, and even if it had been just for, you know, half a year or a few months, they still wouldn't be fired. The only reason they're fired is because they've been suspended. The only reason Alex Cora's been fired, or whatever it is because MLB probably told, you know, Red Sox owner John Henry that Cora is almost certainly, will certainly be suspended because he's been at the center of two cheating scandals now. So yeah. That's probably why they did that. Like, it's only because people found out and because MLB can prove it. Because up until then, no one had been fired.
Yeah. Yep. So you just kind of wind up. I mean,
so much integrity, Justin. I'm really just bowled over by it.
I mean, what is your take? And again, there's more to this and we're going to get to it after our first break. But as we're heading into that right now, Liz, does this force you to think about baseball as a concept in a way that maybe past scandals didn't, or maybe that was long enough ago? Like, the people keep comparing this to the steroids scandal, the ongoing steroids issue that hit a fever pitch in the late 90s, early 2000s, that went largely ignored by writers, but is now the only thing they want to talk about in Hall of Fame voting. I mean, yeah, does this make you think, like, not just, wow, this is bad for baseball, but like, Why do we bother watching a sport that once, you know, that when you look away for a second, immediately begins to try and pull the threads holding it together?
I mean, I guess I sort of see the correlation between this scandal and the steroid scandal. I think they're different. You know, everyone is paying attention to this. This is not being ignored by writers. This is two teams led by their managers and or coaches deciding to go beyond the unwritten rules. And I don't know, it makes me want to watch more.
Watch more baseball?
It's
or
us.
Watch. See, that's interesting because we have talked before about how, you know, the NBA is an increasingly popular force in among sports leagues and as the NFL as the NFL, you know, is what it is and continues to be a sport that gives people brain damage and suffers scandal after scandal, the NBA is sort of on its coattails as far as popularity. And you know, I'm not looking at any numbers when I say this, but in my mind, that's been the case. And the NBA is a lot of fun. It's a lot. It's, you know, it's not without its problems as well, but it's a lot of fun to watch. And its off season is full of drama, and you can have guys like sniping at each other on social media, and you just won't see that in baseball. But
Until now, is this that?
I mean, is it a little shameless to be like, ah, this is our theater, this is great, when it's talking about, like, you know, melting the sport down and dumping it down a toilet?
I mean, I don't think it's shameless. We have nothing to do with it. We're just, but we're fans watching. Yeah. Like, I said to my husband last night, this is the most interesting baseball has been in years.
That sucks and is true.
I am here for the drama. I really am, because this is the type of interpersonal conflict that baseball has been missing. Like, seriously, if you look at reactions from players, yesterday when there were, we'll talk about some now disproven rumors, but their reaction yesterday was insane, and it sort of opened the floodgates, and like, they've been feeling this all off season. And just because these rumors have been disproved doesn't mean they're going to stop being like obviously angry about it, because there's going to be some fights in baseball this year. There's going to be a lot of yelling. And I'm so here for it. I really want to say it.
There are, right? I mean, when A-Rod came back from his PED suspension and Ryan Dempster hit him with a pitch, like, immediately. I mean, that was, I brought that up when the Phillies hired Joe Girardi because he was really defensive of A-Rod. And it was like, yeah, I mean, he's his manager. But, like, that moment was like, wow, I wonder if A-Rod's just going to get hit with pitches until they stop putting him in games. Like, he had to wonder if that was a possibility because you're like, wow, some of these guys are really pissed off at him. And in this case, yeah, you're going to see, I think, some anger out there, because why wouldn't you? You know, not everyone is cheating, even though I think this is wider than we still know it is. But this, you know, this is a big deal. And guys got screwed because of it. Guys were made to look like less skilled players because other teams were cutting corners, and they should be pissed about that.
Yeah. I mean, Jose Altuve won the MVP in, what, 2017?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, and that was the cheating year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's an award that they're not going to take away from him. But, I mean, Jose Altuve was seen as, like, probably one of the nicest, best guys in the game.
Oh, yeah, I liked him.
And that is all gone now. Because he willingly participated in this. And no matter what he says, whether he's like, I didn't have him do it during my at-bats, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, when you start splitting hairs
you
like
can't.
That, just in that territory that Lunau entered when he was like, oh, you know, I would have stopped it, or like that.
But you didn't. You
know, I was there, and, you know, some other part of me broke off and did these things and then came back, and now I'm the whole me again. But that wasn't me who was doing those. That really just comes down to these guys didn't want to get caught. And now they're just only at the beginning of having gotten caught, and the fallout is still being worked out, and it's just a terrible place for them to be, because it's exactly where they didn't want to be, except that they, you know, they're only there because of their decisions. So there's a lot of desperate regret, you know, there's a lot of, like, annoyance, I feel like.
Yeah, well, and I feel like the Astros are going to get the worst of it, because no one cares about the 2018 Red Sox. I don't want to, like, because they, I mean, I'm almost certain that they did a lot of cheating, the same as the Astros. It was a different system. It was a more subtle system. And it was a system that they couldn't take into the postseason, unless the report says differently. From what I recall, their system relied heavily on the video room employees. And by the postseason in 2018, MLB had finally sent out monitors to, you know, people to monitor the video room, so they couldn't continue. So it's different, but they still cheated. But the Red Sox have been touted as the smartest guys in the room for the last 3 years.
Right.
That's why the Astros are getting so much crap, and why they'll continue to get so much crap. Because humans wrote books about how smart the Astros were. People had wrote entire books about them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've been shoving it down our throats about how, you know, innovative they are. And, you know, what, you know, their 2017 was just amazing. And look at this team that they, you know, Jeff Lunau put together. It's brilliant. And that's almost entirely a lie.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's resonating. And you can, in the response of baseball players, you can tell they were super fucking sick about hearing it.
Right.
They were sick of it. Non-Astros fans have been sick about hearing it. And that's the response to this. It's like a huge catharsis. And because we had to hear about those fucking Astros for so long, it's going to be a long catharsis. And I'm excited about it. I'm real excited. I really am.
Sports tearing itself apart from the inside. Liz can't get enough of it. We'll be right back with continued success after this first break. So we would be insane, Liz, to not talk about this component of baseball's freshest cheating scandal involving the Astros, involving the Red Sox, now involving the Mets, without talking about the family tree that it's brought to life here in the center of baseball. As more and more stories came out, apologies were issued, statements were issued, teams were asked questions. You know, I would say there's very little hard evidence. There's plenty of hard evidence. There's enough to have a foundation here, and from that foundation of scandal has branched a series of quietly whispered or raucously shouted accusations, gossip, rumors, conspiracy theories. Some are completely feasible and just not proven yet. Some have been debunked. I mean, it's the Wild West out there right mm-hmm. now. And one of the components that entered the fray yesterday was suddenly the relatives of former and current players and managers were the muzzles were off, and they were just like, oh, we can talk about this. Okay, great. I believe Scott Brosius's son, former player Scott Brosius, came forward with a real humdinger of a statement. It looks like it was in a, I don't know if it was on Facebook or Instagram.
It was comments of an Instagram post, I think.
Yeah. David Brosius says, my dad was the third base coach for the Mariners in 2017. The Mariners knew they were cheating. Every team did. The MLB did. No one should say
the MLB. No, it makes you look like an idiot.
He knew exactly how they were doing it in 2017. The MLB just wasn't going to do anything about it until the public found out. My dad would give fake signs at third, acting like he knew what the Astros pitcher was going to throw, and Cora and Hinch would scream at him, calling it Bush League. Weird how that works. If you want to read something better, Mike Trout takes HGH for a thyroid condition. Thyroid is in quotes. It's a loophole he found in the MLB. Stop it. Doesn't make it public because they don't want fans knowing their best player is on HGH, but people within know. Thought you'd appreciate since you're a Dodgers fan. I'm assuming he's talking to a Dodgers fan at this point. This guy was eager to talk. If he turned this conversation about cheating, suddenly pivots into by the way, Mike Trout's taking illegal substances. Boom. See you later. Aha. It's got to be a far-reaching scandal if Mike Trout suddenly gets pulled into it. I don't know. Liz, your thoughts?
I mean, first, I'm not a medical professional. My mother is. I should have asked her. But from what I can tell, you don't take HGH for thyroid. And you can't put thyroid in quotation marks, because you don't take HGH for thyroid. Like, MLB wouldn't allow him. Like, I understand it's easy to think that MLB will allow its best players to do anything they want. Just keep being good. But MLB doesn't. Have you noticed that they haven't done a great job of promoting Mike Trout? It makes no sense. That makes no sense. I could the stuff about the Mariners thing, the yelling at batters and stuff like that, pretending that they knew what signs were coming, that I can believe, because that seems like something his son or his father told him. This other thing seems like something he might have just made up.
Yeah, I mean, people could just be out here making shit up, too. That's also very plausible.
Yeah.
However, given the context, this is like a unproven but completely believable thing that someone found on Reddit and just fed it to us. And normal circumstances, we're all like, if this pops up and there hasn't been anything to prelude it, we're just like, whatever. But given the context of the situation, and that's what people are going to take advantage of. That's what we saw in the whole Carlos Beltran's niece thing, where maybe you can remind me. Who first said that the account, first of all, there was an account called Ivan B that was going around that people said was Carlos Beltran.
Oh my God. Two of my best friends are Mets fans. They were both at my wedding and I both got this account from them. They both like, can you look into this? I think this is Carlos Beltran's burner. I'm not a detective. Second off, no.
My conclusion was either this definitely is Carlos Beltran, or someone is trying to make you think it is definitely Carlos Beltran, because there's really, other than just being like, hello, I am Carlos Beltran, it's pretty much just, based on how we know people operate their burner accounts that have been, shamefully blasted in the past for doing so, this is exactly how it would go, but it's almost like too perfect. I mean, this is an account with no avatar that was created in January 2020. He follows like only Mets beat writers and columnists. He follows Brody Van Wagenen. It's almost too obvious, and I think that's where a lot of the doubt came from. And I don't know if it was before or after the question of whether or not it was Beltran's burner account came up or not, but this guy, whoever this is, had tweeted and then pinned, it's unpinned now, a tweet that said, my name is Ivan B. I don't feel comfortable putting my last name out there. As for the number 15, I currently play in an adult softball league, and my current number is 15. Who knows? And it's pronounced Devon. I'm sorry. But I just apologize for...
Yeah, it's not pronounced Devon because this is not a real person.
Yeah, just apologizing.
My apologies to the family of Yvonne or Ivan.
No avatar. Yeah, just wow. Well, anyway, yeah, imagining if this was Carlos Beltran, and being like, oh, I got to make sure people don't know that this is me. This will clear everything right up.
Yep.
As for the number 15, which is obviously the thing everyone is having questions about, that's my number in my adult men's softball league. Mystery solved. Let's all move on with our lives. Like, that's hilarious. Like, that is as if people were like, this seems like it might be Carlos Beltran, and my proof of that is the number 15 in the handle. And he's like, no, I got an explanation for that. Not like, hey, man, why was your account just created, only follows Mets people, and responds to criticisms of Carlos Beltran with, like, accusations and stuff from, like, insider, quote-unquote, insider information. Like, that's kind of the stuff that people are having questions about.
Yeah, a little
bit. So I don't remember if this was, like, officially debunked, but it's not really taken seriously as
a concept.
No,
that one didn't
anymore.
Catch fire quite.
No. But the one that did was, I forget the handle, but there was an account that people assumed was Carlos Beltran's niece for a minute. And that one caught on a little more because this account had been right in the past. And what was it right about? It was talking about him stepping down,
the
I think.
The timelines didn't end up really matching up, but they sort of had news about, quote-unquote, news about Beltran's hiring a few days before it happened. That doesn't quite line... Like, in the end, the reason why it wasn't true was because it didn't quite line up. But it was easy to see that as evidence that it was true, as opposed to evidence that, of course, the Mets were going to hire Carlos Beltran. Jeez.
Right. Yes.
Whatever the worst option was going to be for them in the future, whether or not they knew it or any of us knew it, that's what they were going to do.
So this account, which also was debunked, it definitely isn't Beltran's niece. Gary Sheffield's son came forward and was like, no, it's actually a player's burner account. So we all thought it was a player's burner account. I believe someone pointed out that it was actually some just dickhead's account that, like, they had blocked a long time ago, some Twitter dickhead. It doesn't even really matter how this one got resolved. I mean, it wasn't true. There's nothing to, there's no credibility here for anything. It was just another twist in the tale of the day.
The issue with that one is that they tweeted a number of things about Astros players wearing buzzers, like, you know, that would give them buzzes or little shocks to let them know what pitch was coming.
Yes.
And that caught fire like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, my God. The zoomed in images of every wrinkle on Jose Altuve's uniform.
I'm never so proud of the baseball community as when they find a little piece of something and they're like, let's pick it apart with the tiniest tweezers. Let's look at every aspect. Let's break down video. I love it.
Oh, everybody thinks they're John Boy now.
There's only one John Boy, guys.
He made a career out of doing that really well. And I think at the end of the day, everyone on the internet thinks when there is a mystery, if I sit here in this chair and look at this screen long enough, there will be enough internet evidence to find the answer to this. And John Boy, you know, he actually does it. So that's incredible some of the time. But not everyone can do that. That is not something you could just sit down and decide to do. And that's exactly what everyone thought they were doing. And it became tough to tell who was joking and who was seriously saying, oh, look at this little bump right by the collar. Gotta be a buzzer. I will say the fact that Jose Altuve was said to have not wanted his jersey ripped off during the walk-off celebration in the it was the World Series, right?
I actually don't remember where that was.
Yeah. Basically, the report came out, people remembered Altuve, I don't want to have my shirt ripped off. And suddenly it was like, huh, That actually did strike me as extremely suspicious.
Yeah, me too.
Especially when his agent was like, "Oh, that's just Jose. He's very shy." And someone pointed out his Instagram, where Jose is not shy and, you know, constantly shirtless, and also multiple times on the field where he has had his jersey ripped off and hasn't seemed to mind it during a walk-off celebration.
Yeah. I mean, his stated excuse was, "My wife didn't like it." I'm like, "You weren't naked. They ripped your shirt off, and underneath it was your undershirt." That's really all it was. Like, your wife isn't unhappy. You're half naked on your Instagram all the time.
Very interesting.
Very strange. So, I mean, MLB said that they investigated it and they could not find any substantive evidence. They couldn't substantiate. That is not the same as disproving it.
Yeah. And you'll hear
that.
Which
I kind of love, because they're really just going to let the Astros hang out there.
Right.
They're not going to say anything more. And they're like, "You guys got yourselves into this mess. This is now your payment. This is what you have to, this is your punishment. You have to deal with everyone for the rest of time, assuming that you or any of the players on that team are cheating."
And it got to the point where there was a picture of Josh Reddick floating around in the post game of, I guess it was the World
Series.
Must
have been.
Where he had something that looked like it was like taped to his chest with his jersey off during an interview. And this was proven to be confetti that had gotten stuck to him during the celebration. And, you know, he was actually asked about it. These guys are like out and about right now doing like the caravans for the fans and stuff. And like
Astros Fan Fest is in like 2 days.
Yeah. I mean, this is... So they're out there and they're getting asked about it. According to Chandler Rome, who is a Astros beat writer at the Houston Chronicle, he tweeted that he asked if Reddick regretted anything that happened in 2017. Josh Reddick said, "We're not talking much about it. We're shifting our focus to where we're at tonight and what we're doing tonight."
The answer is no.
Reddick spoke at an Astros caravan stop at a local brewery before doing a Q&A with fans. And then Rome followed that up with, "It was confetti," Josh Reddick said. So, yeah, I mean, like, it definitely was confetti based on the image. But, like, yeah, you're going to hear that response a lot. We're just focused on the future right now, which, you know, that should piss you off a little bit if you're somebody who's like, "Hey, you guys just did this." Essentially, I mean, do you feel like the Astros are getting away with this, more or less? Like, the coach and manager, the manager and GM were fired. The players really won't face too many repercussions. The Mets manager and Red Sox manager were also fired. But the Astros had to pay $5 million. They lose a couple of prospects. I mean, isn't that just the cost of doing business when you're a World Series team? It's just, in this capacity, it's a punishment and not a deal they made?
Yeah, I think you're right. They're, I guess they're sort of getting away with it. I mean, what's going to end up being their punishment is the legacy. And that, I mean, everyone who's not an Astros fan, like, I have no concept of how Astros fans feel, because I don't care. Most of them don't like it when people criticize their team, and they will make sure that you know they don't like it by filling your mentions with garbage, steaming on fire garbage. I've muted so many Astros fans over the past year, so many, because I don't like their team. I never liked how they were really bragging about how smart they were and how all the fans are very much on the side of ownership. My assumption is that their fans are probably on their side, not taking this well. But the rest of the fans everywhere, I mean, they're not going to let them get away with it. I mean, this, when you think about what's happened, it's going to profoundly change the baseball viewing experience.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Astros teams, when they're not at home, are getting booed everywhere. Like, I just think about how Phillies fans boo Ryan Braun every single time he comes to the plate, and have
it only makes him more powerful.
I know.
We have to stop.
We do. But they boo him every time he comes to the plate, and it's for like a decade now. This is what's going to happen with the Astros everywhere. They go to a different stadium and fans are just going to boo them. Those players, when they leave the Astros, I mean, watching what's going to happen on the field between these players is going to be fascinating. Watching the relationships they have with fans and the media is going to be fascinating. Like, this is now their legacy. They chose to cheat and they're never going to be able to escape it.
The Phillies and Astros play in early July, but it is in Houston, unfortunately. Would have been a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. There are some cities that aren't. I mean, I think every city, when they really get their ire up, they could be good at booing. But some are just naturally good. I feel like, yes, Philadelphia is one of those cities. It's just like,
we're
there's a chance
for the
to
opportunity.
Boo.
Yeah, it turns into a carnival.
Yes.
I've talked about when Barry Bonds came to town during the peak of that steroid scandal.
People holding
and
signs.
Yeah, people dressed up like juice boxes that say "Juicy Juiced" on the front. Like, yeah, it's people dressed up like giant syringes. I mean, there was effort put in.
I want to see some trash can costumes this year.
Yeah, the morning show in Philadelphia interviewed a trash can.
I had to write about that. Like, come up with a snappy headline. And I'm just like, the only headline I can think of is Philly morning show interviews trash can about Astros scandal.
You
can't
talk
it
about
funnier than that.
You want to talk about getting involved when you
when
don't
you
like
don't
the
have
the Mets.
To.
The Mets get pulled in. I mean, like New York and Flushing gets pulled in when they don't want to be. Philly is just like, yeah, let's just jump in. Let's get involved.
No one's paying
We're not involved.
Attention
let's
to us.
Get involved.
No one is paying attention to us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was brilliant. I'm glad we got to mention that.
Before we go to
our next break here, I also did want to mention Liz. Yesterday morning, the MIT Technology Review tweeted an opinion piece with prefaced by the tweet, "Opinion: Red Sox and Astros managers should not have been fired for seeking competitive advantage." I will say this was followed immediately by a tweet that said, "This account's social media editor is a diehard Dodgers fan. He does not endorse this message," which I thought was nice. But that's kind of just indicative of how we got to where we are. That there's these like,
actually, it's really cool to take the rules and change them to work in your favor. Some call that cheating. I call it intelligence, or succeeding in the marketplace of ideas.
And like that's exactly.
Bros.
Exactly how we got here, and you're like, oh yeah, cool. So you like hate baseball? Like there's no caring about baseball in these sentiments.
How do we break
this and put it back together to be the thing that we want it to be?
How do you expect me to not use? You know, you're giving me technology. How am I supposed to not use it in ways that I'm not supposed to? You've given it to me. Am I not supposed to use it in unethical ways? It's there.
MIT, so smart.
I mean, it's all about let's do this and not, maybe we shouldn't, or let's ask ourselves. Like, that's the entire industry. All about coulda, not shoulda.
Well, we'll have a little more to talk about this and maybe even get into some Phillies news right after this break. Well, Liz, there's always going to be more to this story. I'm sure today there will be more to this story by the time this podcast gets published. But the last thing I wanted to talk about involving that is do a little exercise here. Before even all the things we've talked about had happened, Jason Stark had written a column about what to do in directly to the Astros as far as punishment goes, and the idea of the 2017 World Series, and talking about, hey, what about the outcome of that? Is that something that should have been touched as far as the punishments goes? He says that was never going to happen. Like, the Astros were never going to lose their World Series title in 2017, even though executives quoted in his article on The Athletic that would say that, we want them to give the hardware back because they went over the line. But Stark says, that wouldn't have happened. And he tries to point out how complicated it is by asking a series of questions. Now, I was able to come up with answers to all these questions. And I believe the idea was like, no, these are so complicated and far reaching that this is an issue that they would never have touched. But I want to run through these questions with you. And I want us to answer them because I believe there are answers to them. And it's just a matter of like simplifying it in your head. You try to do this with the Hall of Fame too, and it was like, oh, okay, you want to keep guys out because of, their merits, because of things they've said, because off the field. Well, where do we draw the line? You can just decide where the line is. You can make a new rule and be like, well, this is where my stance is beginning. I'm putting it here. And then if they follow that with the question, well, what do we do with all the guys who are across that line and already in the Hall of Fame? Well, we can kick them out if you guys want to kick them out. But if we don't kick them out, then it's just a product of not taking this stance until now. I mean, this stuff doesn't have to be this hard in my head. So I'm going to run through these questions in Jason Stark's column, and I think we can probably come up with answers to them. So he talks about how it's a slippery slope, removing teams' World Series titles. And sure, that's definitely true. But he writes that, ask yourself this. If you were going to make a ruling that what the Astros did in 2017 shouldn't count, then what exactly about it shouldn't count? Would just the results of the World Series not count? I would say yes. I would say everything that happened in that World Series happened. The Astros just don't get a trophy, don't get a flag, and don't get to say they are the 2017 World Series champions.
I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, I feel like keeping the 2017 World Series is now their burden, because it's no longer something that they can celebrate ever again. Like it is though. Well, they can celebrate it within their own fan base, but you know, it's no longer something that MLB is going to want to talk about. It's no longer going to be a point of pride. Like whenever anybody writes about it, it's never going to be. I mean, everything about that is tainted. I mean, I don't think they could have gotten rid of it. I don't think they could have stripped him of the title. I don't think Rob Manfred has the balls.
Well, no, I don't think he does either, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what if you had the balls to do that. And I think because there's more questions here that open this up into the more complicated issue that it is. I'm not saying it's a simple issue, but I do think there are answers to these questions. Mm-hmm. And I think you just don't give him that world. You just there was. And he says, would there just not be a World Series? Would that be a World Series that nobody won?
Yeah.
Or would you give that to the Dodgers? And yeah, no, of course you wouldn't give it to the Dodgers. It would just be the year that the World Series wasn't won by anyone. We talked a couple weeks ago on Hittin' Season about the Japanese baseball pitching award and how sometimes there's no one who reaches the statistical milestones you need to hit to win the award, and they just give it to no one. And I think this would just be a case like that. And if it's the first ever case, that just tells you how deep and impactful this issue has been for baseball. Since nobody's getting banned for life, apparently, this is something that means a lot more than a $5 million fine and a couple of draft picks. You know, it's something people will talk about. They'll mention the 2017 World Series and say, you know, the Astros can say, well, we won it, but every other fan could counter with, yeah, well, according to the, you know, history books, nobody won it, and you know why. You definitely know why. So that's kind of where I wound up on that. I didn't think that was even that complicated of an issue. But then Stark goes on to say, what about the regular season? Would those games count? Would those Astros wins count, or would they forfeit every one of those 101 games they won? If they did, would those victories then be assigned to the teams they played? Then what do you think about the standings? No, I think that's getting way too messy, and frankly, I don't think, no, you don't need to do that.
Agreed.
I think the regular season stays untouched. There's no reason, and I don't even think, really, I think that's not even a question that needs to be asked. Nobody was going to change the results of the regular season. And if you're asking what the difference is between that and stripping the Astros of their World Series title, it's the outcome of one game. It's literally taking the end of the game away, not everything that happened in it, not everything that happened before it, just the end of it, just to make a statement. You know, that doesn't seem crazy to me. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I can get behind that. I don't think they should change the result. Like those games happened.
Yeah.
You know, the stats are going to continue to, you know, they're not taking away Jose Altuve's MVP. All of that happened, you know, despite it, you know, doing things like hurting Yu Darvish's value. Like that, you want to look at a tangible outcome. What happened to Yu Darvish during the World Series severely hurt his value on the free agent market.
Yeah.
You know, they said he was tipping pitches. Who knows if that's true? He might not have been, and they just had to assume that he was tipping pitches because they knew what he was going to throw.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, and that's Stark's next question. Like talking about Jose Altuve's batting title, all the stats compiled in these games. He's asking like, what would you take those away too? And I just felt like. I got a little irked, honestly. I felt like we were getting into just sort of this pedantic, willful ignorance territory. Like, of course not. I don't think anybody would have been suggesting that. And I don't even really think it's something that needs to be discussed. Like that, if you were taking a real honest look at how you were going to go about taking away the World Series title of the Houston Astros, it doesn't have to be that complicated. It really doesn't. You know, it's going to look strange in the history books. It's going to stick out. But that's the point. People should remember that it was the year they broke baseball and suffered any sort of penalty for it. Because Stark goes on to talk about, like, what about the box scores? What about the history? What about the fans who attended the parade? You know, do we ask them to come up? And you know, he facetiously writes, could you please stop by our office so we can delete those memories from the hard drive in your brain because we just decided that parade never happened? I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. Obvious, no one's talking about changing the history people experienced. And I don't know why you would even bring that up. Like, of course that happened. People would be like, oh, I went to that parade when the Astros won the World Series. And people would say, oh, in 2017, that year they cheated. And they would be like, well, and then, you know, they would get into an argument and it would be terrible. But like, that's kind of the situation the Astros put themselves in. So this idea that it's a slippery slope, I believe it. I just don't think this, I don't know. I don't think it's as slippery as it sounds. You just got to make a decision and stick with it. And obviously, there's a lot more politics and cowardice that goes into this in the upper levels of baseball than that makes things much more complicated. But if you're just looking at this as the issue of should the Astros have their World Series title from 2017, if you really feel like they shouldn't, and you're the person who can influence that, you could just take it away and be like, yeah, all of this obviously happened. No one's trying to delete anyone's memories or anything. But we're taking the trophy away so that every time we talk about 2017 World Series, we're talking about how nobody won it because somebody cheated.
Yeah. I mean, you make a lot of very good points. You do make a lot of very good points. I can't really disagree. It would have been a good punishment. But, you know, when there are billionaire owners involved and Manfred works for them, he just didn't want to piss off Jim Crane too much, I guess, which is stupid because this happened under his watch. Like, calling him blameless for this is stupid because it happened under his watch because he was not involved in baseball operations. He was really, as our friend Annie McPhail is, focused on the business side of the baseball, the baseball team. And, you know, you could theorize that that's why this got so out of control, but it obviously, I think, probably would have happened either way. So
yeah,
this just allows him to save face, which is stupid because who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, eventually people will forget because there are no asterisks, you know?
Right. Exactly. There needs to be a bookmark on that page. Yeah. So, yeah, that's how I felt about that. But that's the situation as it is currently, and it's only going to get messier. We're going to end the show here with a couple of quick hits on other baseball news relating to the Phillies-ish. Just close up this cheating scandal loop by mentioning that Cody Decker, formerly of the Padres, he was a Padres farmhand for a while. He came up in 2015 and played on the major league team. But he tweeted a screenshot of his own tweet from November 2019 in which he said, "I'd like to remind everyone that this scandal is a much bigger deal than being reported. It has all the makings of MLB steroid scandal 2.0. There are no rules in place for machine learning algorithms cheating system, much like there were no rules against steroid use in the 90s and 2000s. And he says, you know, yesterday, in regards to having tweeted that over a year ago, strap in because this isn't close to being over. So buckle up, people, because Evan Longoria was tweeting about it yesterday. I mean, you know, players are. Wasn't there a case of somebody was like actually accusing someone else of cheating on social media? I don't know.
I know Mike Clevenger pretty much pledged to hit people.
yeah, so like play, sports. I
mean, this is a big deal.
Tommy Pham. Tommy Pham tweets Pham. Out.
Oh my god!
A picture. He tweeted out one of the zoomed in shots of Jose Altuve's wrinkle on his uniform. Bump. He didn't have any words to it. It was in response to a Joel Sherman tweet that was saying from MLB, with so much coming out publicly about the Altuve home run to end the ALCS, among other incidents, Major League Baseball explored wearable devices during the investigation but found no evidence to substantiate it. That investigation, MLB said, includes 2019. That was tweeted by Joel Sherman. And in response to that, Tommy Pham, formerly of the Rays, now of the Padres, tweeted one of those zoomed-in shots of a wrinkle on Jose Altuve's uniform. And as someone pointed out, the players are now openly accusing each other of cheating, so I don't know how you really work that out.
I don't know either. But, it's a sign of how deeply this has cut other players. You know, that this really, like, we're just sort of, we're talking about it in terms of, you know, like there's cheating and, you know, they're using technology and it's all very sort of abstract to us. This is what these guys do for a living. Like, and they, a lot of them take their integrity very seriously. And to know that at least one and probably two teams cheated on their way to winning a World Series has got to make them very angry.
Yeah.
And you can tell by the tweets, because they haven't been banned from talking about it. They can talk about it as much as they want. And I mean, this is why I'm kind of excited, because the Astros crossed a line. They super duper crossed a line, and they're going to continue to be a good team. And now, like, beating them is a badge of honor. Beating them, beating the individual players, making sure they pay for what they've done in the past is part of this.
Yep.
This has changed. Like, in a week, the entire landscape of baseball has changed. And it's exciting. It is. I mean, I know this is, you know, bad for the game, but I'm a fan. I want to be entertained. This is entertaining.
Remember last year at this time, we were still
we were dying.
Most of the way not there on Bryce Harper signing. And it was all we talked about for like 6 months. So this is certainly a departure from
that. Aren't you guys all glad that isn't happening again?
Just to close out here with some non-cheating scandal related news, some quick hits. Liz, it was tweeted by Jim Salisbury and other Phillies beat writers that the Phillies, Odubel Herrera cleared waivers, and he's been outrighted to AAA. Salisbury writes, the plan for now is to bring him to minor league camp, but his long-term future with the club remains uncertain. Good-ish. Like, you know, he's still with the team. They can't cut him for anything beyond a baseball playing reason, correct?
Yes, true. But good thing that he sucked out loud last year. So, right. You know, that's why they were able to outright him. And he's going to go to minor league camp. And his future's in his own hands now. I mean, because I can see them at the end of minor league camp cutting him if he doesn't do well. But that's up to him. And if he does well, then maybe they'd be able to trade him. But it doesn't seem like they want him back on the major league team, which at least there's that.
I will, you know, it's not like the Phillies. I have a hard time giving any major entity like this, including the Phillies, the benefit of the doubt as far as doing the right thing on these issues. So I will remain cynical about this. But as far as, you know, as far as how these things go, that he's further away from being on the team and hopefully won't be on the team moving forward is a positive step, I would say.
Agreed.
Positive. You know, is a relative term in this case as well. Liz, out in San Francisco, I hesitate to bring this up because I'm kind of like, we got to move away from Gabe Kapler talk.
No, we're never moving away from Gabe Kapler talk.
I feel like we got to mention Kapler has been, he's been building just a massive coaching staff.
What are they doing over there?
They can only have, what, 7 uniformed coaches in the dugout?
So maybe there's just going to be a bunch of people, I guess, hanging out in the clubhouse.
He's got a ton of people, but he made his last two hires yesterday, I believe, and one of them was Alyssa Nacken, who will be an assistant. Yes, who is a woman. This is the tragically newsworthy part of this. According to ESPN, Major League Baseball confirmed Nacken is the first full-time female coach in the majors. She is a former softball standout at first base for Sacramento State, who joined the club in 2014 as an intern in baseball operations. She and Mark Hallberg, who was also named an assistant Thursday, will work to promote high performance along with a close-knit team atmosphere, Kapler said. That is such a Gabe Kapler reason to hire someone for a job. However, it is awesome that she has a job. And as Justine Siegel, who heads the Baseball for All initiative for women to, you know, get to play baseball, she tweeted with a link to this story. The wall is broken. And, you know, if she's saying it in a way that is, you know, positive or hopeful, then I think it is okay to feel positive or hopeful. Obviously, we, you know, something like this should probably have happened before. But here we are at this point in history, and we're seeing the first ever female coach in Major League Baseball. And that is awesome. I think that is a good thing. Again, relative term.
I agree. It's definitely a good thing. I'm happy that it's happened. It's been happening in basketball. I think there's at least one female, you know, coach in football. And if you've been watching television lately, you'd seen it because she's in a Microsoft commercial. She might be the only one. I don't think she is, but she might be. But yeah, nice of baseball to finally catch up. Maybe they'll allow women umpires next. Who knows?
Yeah. Wow. What a crazy.
I know.
That's crazy. And the last thing we'll talk about, Liz, this was really good news. Josh Donaldson signing a deal with the Minnesota Twins.
Go away.
Did not see that coming, but that he got shipped out of the NL East. Huge.
Oh, I'm so
that's
happy.
A huge deal. I would say that this is one of the biggest acquisitions of the Phillies offseason, even though it did not involve them whatsoever. Yeah.
It's nothing but good news.
On a four-year deal, wow. No less, to the Twins, worth $84 million for the first 4 years, and includes a $16 million club option and an $8 million buyout. I mean, he's 34 years old. Yeah, he had a great year with the Braves last year, but we've heard this story before, and he certainly beat up on the Phillies last year. The assumption that he was going to go to one of the two NL East teams that were interested in him, the two teams we don't want to see get better, both the Braves and the Nationals, I assumed he was going to one of those two teams. The Twins came in and got him and took him out of the NL East, made him not the Phillies' problem in 2020. I think that's great news. Just, you know, it's not like he was the biggest threat the Phillies would have faced next year, but at the same time, it's a position the Phillies have not yet, you know, improved. That is still very much a question mark around third base in the Phillies organization, as they'll have Scott Kingery starting there in 2020, and presumably Alec Bohm, their top position playing prospect, will take on the role in time. Meanwhile, the Nationals don't have Anthony Rendon anymore, which is great news for the Phillies as well, but now they don't have Josh Donaldson to bring in and play third base, so that makes their, you know, World Series title defense a little more questionable without a third baseman of that caliber. And the Braves also don't really have a great situation at third base either. So everybody's kind of on even ground as far as that one position goes. For the Braves, their depth chart currently lists Johan Camargo as the top starter at third base. And, you know, like I said, for the Phillies, it's Scott Kingery. And for the Nationals, it's no longer Rendon. It's Asdrubal Cabrera, who they signed the other day. So none of these are great.
He's never leaving, is he? He's just going to every team in the NL East. It's Marlins next, guys.
I forgot the Nationals signed Starlin Castro, oh, too. Wow. So they've been making moves. But yeah, that's I felt like that was good news worth sharing before we headed out on this episode.
I'm so sorry. I almost choked on my own saliva, and I could not hear you. I'm so sorry.
I see.
I had it muted. Oh, man. I missed what you said. Please repeat it.
I just felt like that was a good thing to go out on this episode with so much negativity in the air. I thought we could go out on the positive note of Josh Donaldson no longer in the
NL
East.
And then I almost died. excuse me. Yes, I'm excited about him being as far away from the Phillies as possible.
Yay.
They could have
signed
that'll
do it for this episode.
No, just get away.
That'll do it for this episode of Continued Success. As always, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and download every episode, every podcast that's part of the Good Fight podcast family, including Hit and Season with John Stolness, The Dirty Inning with myself and Dr. Trevor Strunk. We'll have a new arbitration-themed episode coming up very soon. Arbitration, it's what everybody's talking about in baseball. It was when I was, you know, writing the episode. Don't forget the Patreon. Chris Jones and I will be up on the Patreon momentarily. He's pretending to be sick and then pretending to be busy just to seem more mysterious. So he's been a real slippery eel lately to get a hold of. But yeah, we'll have another conversation between the two of us, another absolutely hammered appearing on the Patreon, as well as other content coming soon. So that'll be worth your $5. As always, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next time on Continued Success.